I know that might be a hard decision to make, but the success that that ministry has had is been wonderful. And so please give strong prayerful consideration, both men and women, to that. Well, as you walked in, you noticed, hopefully, being as perceptive as you are, right, that we don't have the carpet down, which means, again, we are opening up the gyms for it to be used, and we're very thankful for that. And I remembered this time not to say what I'm saying to you right now in the first service, because it doesn't matter. The second service, what matters, we're going to ask you to stack chairs 8 high, if you would, in the row that you're sitting in, and you guys have been doing great, and it's been going really quick, because what we do is we move the chairs out so that they can play basketball. So anyways, if you'll just stack the chairs when I dismiss you here or at the end of the service, that would be so, so very helpful to us, okay? And then also, COVID-minded, is probably no surprise, we've had to postpone a few things, which is unfortunate. And the big thing we had to postpone, and everyone collectively is going to say, oh, is the winter ball, the daddy-daughter dance. So it's being postponed. Merge is being postponed. High Point 101 is being postponed. So you can go to our website or our church app to kind of see when we've rescheduled them, because they're too important to just completely remove, obviously. And so we have rescheduled them. So please stay up to speed with when we're going to be doing that, okay? So I think I've cleared the admin part of this. I'm going to make a statement that I think everyone in here would nod their heads and say, yeah, I can go with you there. I agree with that. And that is that things that are alive and healthy grow. Is that a fair statement? I mean, I don't think I'm really stepping out there, right? It's like when you see something that's alive and vibrant, it's growing, and it's noticeable growth. You see that. Take, for example, parents, right? Your children. You want them to grow. And when you see them, if you were to see them not growing, I imagine that would startle you. You would think, oh, my goodness, we don't seem to be having any growth. And you would go to the doctor, and whatever the doctor prescribed, you would do everything that you could possibly do to see that your child grows. I trust every parent would do that without hesitation. Now imagine if your child didn't grow. They might look like this. You see that? That just flat out looks wrong, doesn't it, right? I want that image to be so startling that you cannot get past it for the next few weeks as we discuss what it means to grow, okay? Because the reality of it is, and if one's good, two's better. Let's get one more up there. That's me and my swing, okay? I want to thank my daughter, Audrey, youngest daughter, who put this together for me. She's awesome, okay? But here's the funny part. Spiritually speaking, let's be honest, spiritually speaking, we can be like this, and some of us in this room are like that. It's exactly how God would see us spiritually speaking, okay? And so this morning, we're going to begin a 3-week study. What does the Bible say about the importance of growing, particularly growing spiritually? And this morning, my hope, my goal, my prayer has been to start off this series is to motivate you, to motivate myself, to want to grow spiritually. Because I showed you that picture, and you might see it again. I want it seared in your mind. I want it, that looks horrendous. My oldest daughter said, Dad, that's disturbing. I go, that's exactly what I'm going for. I want disturbing, because my friends, it's disturbing to the Christ followers in the room when we're not growing. That's disturbing, and it's hurtful, and we're missing out on a whole lot. So that hopefully is stuck a little bit in your head, and my prayer is that in cooperation with the Holy Spirit, because only the Holy Spirit can change in us what needs to be changed, can motivate us to want to grow. But I'm hoping and praying that I will motivate you this morning. God's given us different ways that he motivates us. I'm going to share a couple of them with you so that we're motivated when we leave today to grow. And I'm going to pray to that end right now. So would you join me? Father, we thank you so much for your patience and your mercy and your grace with us. We are all broken, every single one of us. And Father, I pray that you would speak through me, as I have nothing to say, but you have everything to say. And I pray as we open up your word that we're honest with ourselves and we're honest with you and we're open to the work of your Spirit to motivate inside us the desire to want to grow spiritually. And I pray you'll bless this time of teaching
And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Well, if you recall, last week, what we did was the first message of the new year. And I talked about spiritual training. I said we were all kind of understood it as it relates to maybe wanting to lose some weight or just to get healthy. We understood physical training. And we looked at Paul, who he was in Corinth, you know, present-day Greece, and there were kind of like the Olympic Games. It was the Corinthian Games, and there were athletes that were in training. And Paul naturally saw the athlete training, and he used it metaphorically to spiritual training. And we talked about how important spiritual training is, that the planning, the purpose for which we are training, the repetition and the consistency. And if you recall, I gave you a spiritual training exercise that I suggested that really we need to do that would help us in 2022. And it was, believe it or not, it was to preach to yourself. It was to preach the gospel, which means that Jesus died for our sins. And that's exactly what Paul was doing in Corinth. He was writing a letter. They were fighting. There was rivalry. There was faction within the church. And Paul goes, this is ridiculous. And what they were fighting over was who they were following, spiritually speaking, and as if one was better than another to follow. And Paul's going, knock it off. We're all one. And what did he zero in on? What did he focus in on was, how do I get them to be all one? They needed humility. They needed to be humbled. And so what Paul said, because he was, in one sense, he was being ridiculed for his small stature and his less than fantastic speaking skills. And if you recall, we read straight from Paul, he says, I don't come with clever words. I don't come with impressive speech. He goes, what I come saying is Christ crucified. He wanted them mindful that Jesus died for them. And that if they could all rally around that, that would change the factions. That would change the rivalry and the bickering that was going on. And so we talked about the exercise being that, and we even said, like, I took my watch off, or I said, take your watch or your ring, put it on the other hand, and how awkward and weird was that? And I put my watch on. I didn't like it at all. So I went old school. I got my WWJD bracelet. And it's reminding me of the spiritual training that we talked about last week that we're to do daily. So that's how we kicked it off. And I was really kind of setting the foundation for these next 3 weeks. And this morning, it's going to be all about motivation. Because I realized that in some cases, we're not motivated. And so we're going to talk about that. Next week, we're going to talk about, well, how do I grow spiritually? What do I need? And then the third week, we're going to look at, well, what does it look like when I'm growing spiritually? Because I kind of want to know that I'm going in the right direction. So that's what we're going to cover over the next 3 weeks, okay? So hopefully I'm laying that out for you, and you got it. So let's look at, because God's given us a couple different ways, or he's given us more than a couple. I'm going to share two with you today, ways that he motivates us. But before I can motivate you or me about growing spiritually, we have to understand, well, what is spiritual growth? What exactly are we talking about? Well, let me say this first. Before one can grow spiritually, one has to be reborn spiritually. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus came to Jesus, and he was asking him about, dude, you're different. The way you teach, what you do, the following you have, what is it? And Jesus said very frankly to Nicodemus, he says, you've got to be born again. And Nicodemus is thinking, well, how do I do that? Do I climb back up into my mother's womb, Nicodemus said? And Paul says, or Jesus said, no, you're born again of the Spirit. So there's a spiritual rebirth in you. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But you have to have that in order to grow spiritually. That's just what comes naturally. You can't, this is not you trying to work harder to be better you. This is something that's new that happens inside of you, okay? Now, when we say spiritual growth, the tendency is to think of good deeds. When we talk about spiritual growth, it's, am I being better at this? Am I praying more? Am I attending church services more? Am I giving to the church more? Am I helping others more? Am I using less cuss words? Am I fighting temptation off better? We think of good deeds. And I don't want to eliminate those at all. But that's not the focus. If we focus on that, we'll miss it. The focus on growing spiritually is best encapsulated in what Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 5. It'll be up on the screen. This is what Jesus said. This is a familiar verse to you. Tom taught on this a few weeks ago. Jesus said this. He says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. So this idea of remaining, Jesus is saying there's a connection here. There's a relationship here. The focus is not on good deeds. As good as they are, that's not the focus. The focus for growing spiritually, the context for growing spiritually, when you hear spiritual growth, do not think or default to good deeds. I want you to think relationship. It is a relational reality. So spiritual growth is the increasing closeness in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Or I could say it this way, in your relationship with God through Jesus. Now, why did I say it two different ways? Because sometimes there's confusion. Do we draw closer to God or do we draw closer to Jesus? And my answer to that is yes. Okay, what do you mean by that? Well, without getting into it too deeply, but it's a very important fundamental truth of the Christian faith, and that is the Trinity. That is that there is one God, three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are three individual personal beings, and yet they are different, but one God. So when you're praying to God, you're praying to Jesus. When you're praying to Jesus, you're praying to God. And so if we want to get closer to God, who is spirit, the Bible says, but he came down in the person of Jesus. Jesus is fully God and fully man. And God knew we needed more than just spirit. We needed a human body that we could relate to, that we could connect with, that we could understand. And so my challenge is for us to grow spiritually is to close the relationship and make it more intimate with Jesus. And in so doing, we are also drawing closer to God. And that involves things like knowing God and knowing Jesus better. It involves loving God and loving Jesus more. It involves trusting God and trusting Jesus in greater ways. So when you think spiritual growth, I just want you to think relationship, okay? Now, that's not to say that the good deeds, because what did Jesus say? He says, you'll produce much fruit. Well, fruit means good deeds. So good deeds are important. They actually kind of prove or authenticate the fact that we have a relationship with God. And I say that because I don't want the person, and you've probably talked to people like this, or you might be a person like this, who thinks, yes, I love God. Yes, I believe God exists. God and I are fine. But there's no evidence of that in your life to you, although you could be delusional, but to the people around you. And James, the half-brother of Jesus, said that faith without works is dead. And Jesus talked about with his disciples, he said, if you want to know who's alive, who's really a follower of mine, he goes, look at the fruit in their lives. So it's very important to understand that good deeds do have their place as evidence for growth. Okay, so that's what spiritual growth is. Now, how do we get motivated to want to grow spiritually? What does God give us in that way? Well, he gives us more than two things, but the two things that I want to share with you first are his promises. There's some powerful promises. Let's go back to John chapter 15, verse 5. Which I just read to you. It says that if you remain in me and I remain in you, right? So there, again, he's talking about relationship. He says, apart from me, it's impossible for you to do anything good. So again, that reinforces this idea of relationship. But in that relationship, he says what? He says, produces much fruit. Naturally, fruit obviously is, he's using that metaphorically. What exactly does he mean by fruit? Well, let me take you to Galatians chapter number 5, verses 22 and 23. Here's where Paul builds on the teaching of Christ about bearing fruit, and he says this in verse 22. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit, and I'm going to read these slowly, because what I want you to listen for is I want you to listen, does one of these virtues jump out at you as something that, man, I just need this. I need more of this. I need this now. I needed it last week. So just listen, this is the fruit that Jesus was saying that we produce in connection with, in relationship with Christ. And Paul says it this way to the church in Galatia. He says, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So I hope to motivate you and motivate me that when we grow spiritually, what happens is we have within us and what comes out of us are very healthy character qualities. I'm asking you, what I just read to you, did one of those jump out at you? Do you need peace? Are you like going, my life is chaos. I really need, or how about joy? Does anybody just, I need joy. This has been so hard. How about self-control? There's that behavior, that stubborn behavior, that addiction that you're like going, I need self-control. I just keep losing it. I keep giving in. Well, this is an incredible promise that in our growing spiritually, when Jesus said, you remain in me and I remain in you, you're going to bear or produce much fruit. He's talking about these healthy character qualities. They are attainable. They're there for the taking and for the bearing and for the experiencing. Okay, I asked you to turn to 2 Peter. Let's read another powerful promise that I hope motivates you. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Peter, the half-brother of Jesus, says this, his divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. By these, in other words, by his glory and goodness, he has given us very great and precious promises so that through them you may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world because of evil desires. I mean, that promise is deep, my friends. Peter is saying that God has given us everything we need for the life that's in front of us, and in particular, the promises that we have, as we live from them and apply them, we participate in the divine nature. And that goes to what I was saying before, is that to be a follower of Christ is to be born again. Do not hear me say, please do not think this is about you being a better version of you or me being a better version of me. It's not that. It's something new that takes place in your life and it happens to you. You're born again and you have new desires and new interests and new pursuits, and they're all for God. They all involve God. You're free from selfishness and the addictions and the habits that hold you back. You have the freedom from those. And it's truly something new. It's kind of like the caterpillar that goes into the cocoon and comes out as a butterfly. They're different, but they're the same too. That's this incredible promise that as we grow spiritually, we participate in the divine nature. Thirdly, and there's many more, but let me just give you one more promise. Paul says this in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. He says, I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That's saying that inside of you, the change that's happening inside of you, God is never going to give up. He is going to continue to work inside of you. You know, when our struggle in spiritual growth sometimes is it's two steps forward, one step back. And it's kind of this herky-jerky kind of thing. And you might get to a point where you think, I think God's done. I think he's done with me. You're thinking that in heaven he's around saying, you know, that Sullivan kid, we've done everything we can. He's hopeless. Let's move on, you know, kind of thing. But this is a promise that says the spiritual growth that God wants to do inside of you, he will never give up on you. It does not matter. You might give up on you. You might give up. He's not giving up on you. And the Spirit of God is going to work inside of you. My friends, I hope that motivates you, that you have within you the ability, I have within the ability to have these character qualities of a divine nature of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. My friends, that can be your reality. That can be what comes out of you. That can be your reputation and your character. It's there for the taking. And God is promising that it's truly going to be a transformation. It's not you working harder to be a better version of you. It's something that happens to you. And my friends, he's never done with you.
So there's the promises. And for some of you, that can be very motivating. I like promises. Promises are motivating to me. But you know what motivates me more? And this is just my mindset, my personality, maybe the same for you. Is challenges. When someone tells me I can't do something, oh, it's game on. I remember early on, many a time, where Coach grabbed the face mask, and to get his message across, he does this. I don't know why me doing this was getting my, you know, understanding what he was saying, but he was ticking me off is what he was doing. And man, I'm like, you better believe I'm going to do that. I ain't doing it for you. I'm mad, you know. I'm going to do it at you, kind of thing. Well, I'm not saying that that kind of dysfunctional coaching is in the Bible, okay? The point is that God motivates us with promises, but he motivates us with challenges as well, too. And listen, we're going to look at a few challenges in Hebrews chapter 5. If you're in 2 Peter right now, just turn to the left. You're going to a few books, a couple books back. You got James, and then you had Hebrews. So you go from 1 Peter to 2 Peter to James to Hebrews, and look for Hebrews chapter number 5. It'll be up on the screen as well. But listen to this challenge that God gives for spiritual growth. Through the writer of Hebrews, he says in verse 11, he says, we have a great deal to say about this, and it is difficult to explain since you have become too lazy to understand. Previous to this, he was talking about the superiority of Jesus Christ as a high priest, his priestly function. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, man, we could go a whole lot deeper into this, but you're too lazy to understand. Verse 12, although by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the basic principles of God's revelation again. You need milk, not solid food. Now, everyone who lives on milk is inexperienced with the message about righteousness because he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, for those whose senses have been trained to distinguish between good and evil. Go back to the picture. Can we have that picture up there again real quick? Boom, there we go. Okay. Metaphorically speaking, the writer of Hebrews is saying to people like you and like me, he's saying, you're being babies. Grow up. Has anyone ever said that to you, not in an affectionate way? That'll get you stirred up a little bit, right? And that's essentially, the word of God is challenging the Christ followers in the room, and it's and clearly saying, quit being a baby. Knock it off. Grow. As weird, as awkward, or to quote my daughter, as disturbing as that picture looked that I gave you, and again, it is serving its purpose. That's how we look and can look spiritually before God when we just kind of sit down and give up without any kind of purposeful, planned approach to growing spiritually. And I just ask you to be honest, are you growing? Are you growing in your understanding of God's word, in your trust in of God's word, your love for God? Are you growing in that way? I'm asking that rhetorically. Let me ask you this. Are you teaching others the way? Because a sign of maturity as we grow is we pass along onto others. We teach them our knowledge of God, how to trust God, what it looks like to love God. Are you doing that? Are you doing that at home, moms and dads with your kids? Are you doing that as you meet in a small group, or are you doing that in some other way? But let me ask you maybe a unique question, but I think it fits here. Are you teaching yourself? Are you feeding yourself? This is something that as a pastor, you want the people you're leading, you want them to get to this place, but at the same time, you know, there's an insecurity about them being at this place. I remember when I was a new Christian, and the church that I was going to, the only other church I've been a member of, the pastor, it seemed like every Sunday I was always leaving with a challenging thought and an understanding of God's word I didn't have the week before. And it was just, I would just come. And this was the part of me that would kind of like come in, you know, after the music, because I really wasn't into the singing and the worshiping part. And I would just sit there and he would teach me. And it was awesome. And then I started to notice that my plate wasn't as full as I left. I was like, that's kind of weird. And who do you think I thought had the problem? I wondered, well, maybe he's losing his stuff. Maybe he's, you know, not quite up to what he was when I used to come. And I remember telling a friend of mine, I was kind of struggling with that a little bit. And he said, "You bonehead, do you realize what's happening to you?" And I went, "No." He goes, "You're growing spiritually. Start feeding yourself. That's a good sign. Start feeding yourself." I mean, I realize some of you come in here and my ability to communicate and help you is wonderful at first. But at some point, if I do my job right, you'll be less impacted that way. And that's to push you into grow and feed and teach yourself. And you'll start to stumble into, as I did. I started coming to church earlier because I realized, as my friend had to tell me, "Kevin, you don't come to church for yourself. You come to worship God for what he's done in your life." And so I would come, and is that to say that I walked out without understanding what was taught to me and having some things reinforced? Not at all. But my worship experience changed. I wasn't so focused on myself. I was focused on worshiping God and serving other people. And that, my friends, is a sign of spiritual growth. It's healthy to be in that. So the point being is, quit being a baby, all right? Well, that was the writer of Hebrews. What does Paul have to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 3? Listen, Paul picks up on this metaphor that the writer of Hebrews is using. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. He says, "Brothers, I was not able to speak to you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as babies in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, because you were not yet ready for it. In fact, you're still not yet ready, because you are still fleshly. For since there is envy and strife among you, are you not fleshly and living like unbelievers?" So here's the challenge. Paul is challenging the Corinthians. And he's saying, quit being fleshly. Now, what does he mean by fleshly? Well, he gives a little insight into that. He says, you're fighting. There's strife. There's envy. You know, so there's internally some stuff going on that people can't see, but there's also externally stuff going on that people can see. So there's unrest. There's bitterness. There's something wrong with their relationships, but inside, and maybe it's being driven by what's inside, there's envy inside of you. And Paul is saying you cannot grow unless you deal with that. And the problem is, and my challenge for us today, is that what causes us to be envious or to be at odds with each other? It's being too focused on the stuff here, on the world that we live in. It's being too focused on the American dream and losing sight of the kingdom dream. It's almost as if some of you think that living here is the best it's going to be and you make the most of it. But my friends, it's a blip on the screen, us being here. On the timeline of eternity, it's nothing. Being here is in preparation for when the new heavens and the new earth and Jesus comes and our Captain King and CEO rules the world from the earth, not from heaven. And life is preparation for that. But if our perspective is here, we'll never grow spiritually. So the challenge is to quit focusing too much on the American dream and focus on the kingdom dream. Third and last challenge, Paul says this in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. He says, "So then, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now even more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is working in you, enabling you both to desire and to work out his good purpose." There's that promise, the back part of that. There's that promise again. It's God working in us to give us, he says, enabling you both what? To desire. There's the change in our desires, the change in our preferences that happens when we're born again. And he says, and to work out his good purpose, our pursuit, our interest in the things of God. That happens. But the challenge here is to work out your salvation, but with fear and trembling. Now, what does it mean to work out your salvation? Clearly, Paul is not talking about that we're to work for our salvation, that we're to work for the forgiveness of God, to be right with God. That's been done in Christ. What he's saying is you've received that because of your faith in Christ. Now he's saying, now work out the benefits and the blessing and the awe and the wonder of that. Work it out. Let it become manifest in your life. I liken this to smartphones. You know, smartphones, I think, are wonderful. Now, can they be used in detrimental ways? Of course they can. Can we become addicted to them? Yes, we can. Do we have to have limits on them? Or am I just talking to myself? Yes, they can. But they open up so much. And some of you, and I realize I'm getting close now, right? I'm going to start stepping on some toes here. But some of you have smartphones, and you merely text and talk. That's all you do. That's all you know how to do. And you're missing out on all that that phone can do for you. And that's kind of what happens here. The warning here is he's saying, work out your salvation. Work out what has happened inside of you. Grow spiritually so that you can see the wonder and the beauty of what's happened. But here's the challenging part. What does he say? With fear and trembling. Why would he say that? He's bringing a severity to the seriousness of growing spiritually. As I've said before, sometimes we think it just kind of happens serendipitously. That we don't have to plan and we don't have to be purposeful and we don't have to be consistent and it doesn't have to necessarily be our highest priority. But the challenge here is that we are to take spiritual growth very, very seriously to the point that we're to do that with fear and trembling. I'm just asking you, does that describe how you see and understand God's will and his commands for us to grow spiritually? Do you see that as something that is that important, right? So there's your promises, and there's your challenges that I hope motivates you. But I realize sometimes we're not motivated. Sometimes things get in the way, and I want to share with you just a few motivational killers. What can stand in the way of us really being motivated? What can hurt the promises and the challenges that can really motivate us to grow spiritually, meaning getting closer with Christ? What gets in the way? Well, here's a few of them. One of them is, it's because, as I've said enough times now, we think growing spiritually and anything that has to do with anything spiritual is something that is abstract. It's mysterious. It just happens kind of like lightning in a bottle. There's no plan for growth. There's no purposeful approach to growing. There's no focus. There's no purposeful, directed, concerted effort to growing. And when we do not have a plan, when we think it's just going to happen naturally, my friends, you will not grow spiritually, and there won't be a whole lot of motivation to do that. A second motivation killer is related to what I said last week, but let me read to you. Let's go back to 2 Peter. If you want to flip back over to 2 Peter chapter 1, listen to what Peter is saying. He's describing spiritual growth and aspects of it. And then he notes that some people lack the things that he's describing, and he says, here's the reason you lack it. Starting in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, he says, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with goodness, goodness with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with endurance, endurance with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they will keep you from being useless or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's the important verse. The person who lacks these things is blind and short-sighted and has forgotten the cleansing from his past sins. What he's saying is, if those are lacking, if those are not increasing in your life, you have forgotten the work of Christ on your behalf. And that goes back to what I said last week. How important is it for us to regularly preach to ourselves Christ crucified? Jesus died because I'm broken. I'm a doggone mess left to myself. And I need to be reminded regularly that I need humility to prevail in my life so that there are not rivalries and factions and dissension and all that. But I also know that they'll rob my motivation. If I am not mindful of what Jesus has done for me, if I have forgotten what he has done, I will lack the motivation to truly want to grow spiritually. Thirdly, is a misprioritization of my energy and my enthusiasm. You know, we all have a limited reservoir of energy and enthusiasm. Some have more than others. It's just kind of how you're wired. But we all have a limit. And the problem is when we use up all of our energy and enthusiasm for other things, and they could be very good things, and we have nothing left in our pursuit of growing closer to Jesus, my friends, that's very demotivating. When we're looking to other things to maybe be the God in our lives, to be the Savior in our lives, when we're looking to other things or other people that we hope will bring love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, they won't. But we've spent all of our energy and enthusiasm trying, and we have nothing left. My friends, it makes the desire to want to grow spiritually very, very difficult. And then lastly, is when you do not see in your life, and I do not see in my life or experience, spiritual growth and progress. When it's just not happening, it's very demotivating. Very demotivating. But we have to remember, right? I mean, when Jesus used the metaphor fruit, that implies something we must never forget. And that is that spiritual growth takes time. I mean, how many of you have ever, maybe some of you like to plant fruit, like to plant vegetables. How many of you ever put a seed in the ground, watered it, boom, you were eating that night? It just doesn't happen. It takes time and it takes watering. It takes care. But eventually you see something coming out of the ground and then you see something coming off the branch and then you eat and enjoy. And that's what spiritual growth is like. We can't rush it. It takes time. We can't give up on it. We just put our head down and we're faithful to what Christ has called us to do. We're faithful to understanding him and trusting him and loving him. And then we will see the work of the Spirit of God inside of us. And we'll see the fruit and we'll produce much fruit. But it takes time. So I hope between the promises and the challenges, and I hope especially between this picture, one more time, let's get this, just look at the beauty of this picture. Can we get it there one more time? Come on, work with me. Look at that. By the way, that was Nancy and I at a wedding. She got tired carrying me like that, but we managed. We managed. I want that stuck in your head. Because that is how we look. And I know no one wants to look like that. I don't want to look like that. So I hope that motivates you to grow spiritually. And that you'll experience the promises and the blessings. And you'll pass them on. And God gets the glory. Okay, let me pray. Father, thank you so much for your patience with us. We desperately need it. And Father, I pray that today we'll all leave here motivated to truly want to grow in the closeness of our relationship with Jesus. And God, I know that there are some here this morning who do not have a relationship with Jesus. I remember being one of those people. And Father, I pray that you would do an amazing work in their lives, that they would realize, that they would come to understand their brokenness. And that you love them in their brokenness. And that you want to love them out of their brokenness. And you've done that in Christ. And I pray that they would reach out and accept an incredibly free gift. And it would forever change them, change their homes, change their parenting, change how they are a spouse, how they are a son or daughter. God, it'll change them, transform them. And I pray these things would happen for your glory and gain. In Jesus' name, amen.